So our scripture today is from Nehemiah. We're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 6, 1 to 16. And this kind of, you know, we're plunking in right in the middle of a story that's going on. Essentially, Nehemiah has received a word from the Lord, a vision, something placed in his heart to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, the city walls. So when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message: "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply: "I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the 5th time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem: there is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together." I, that's Nehemiah, sent him this reply: "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, 'Now strengthen my hands.' One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in at his home. He said, 'Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you.' But I said, 'Should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go.' I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who have been trying to intimidate me." So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Over 40 years ago, I read a book by a psychiatrist whose name is Scott Peck. Scott Peck, in 1978, wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled. And Peck begins that book with a three-word sentence. Life is difficult. This is a great and important truth. Life is difficult. But many are in the business of denying that, says Peck. Because of our fear of the pain involved, almost all of us, to a greater or lesser degree, attempt to avoid problems. We delay dealing with things, hoping, you know, that the problem would just go away. We ignore problems. We try to forget about them. And sometimes we pretend that they do not even exist. It's like driving to work one morning and you hear a funny noise underneath the hood of your car. And instead of, you know, maybe pulling over to check it out, you just turn up the radio so that you don't hear the noise under the hood. Some people take drugs to avoid the problem. Others use alcohol. Sometimes we stay super busy so that we don't have to face a difficulty. Or we avoid talking together as couples in marriage. Sometimes we adopt rigid religion to avoid problems. And sometimes we act like the problem doesn't bother us at all. We attempt, says Peck, to escape our problems rather than suffer through them. This is what makes life difficult. It is the process of confronting and solving and working through problems that is a painful process. It's hard work. And the difficulty is we can lose heart. Now, when we read this first sentence in our scripture, the scripture is telling us, about Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the rest of our enemies. The scripture is telling us that there is a problem. There's a problem right in front of us. Trouble is on the way for Nehemiah. Life is going to be difficult. And not only are Nehemiah's enemies scheming to harm him, but they want to throw him completely off course. They want to derail him. They want to fill him with fear. They want him to become discouraged. They want him to give up on his work. They want him to give up on this work that is described as the great project of God. They want to put fear in his heart. And here's the most troublesome thing about it. The most troublesome thing about all of this is that Nehemiah is a good man. Nehemiah is an incredibly good man. He's doing an incredibly good thing. Nehemiah is living out and accomplishing the very dream that God has given to him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah is a man of great integrity. He is upright in heart. And yet all of his goodness and all of the goodness of his work do not protect him from difficulty. And that is extremely troublesome for our minds to get wrapped around. Life is difficult even for good people like Nehemiah. Now, all of us, in a certain way and to a certain degree, set out to live wonderful lives. You know, lives that are pleasant and relatively trouble-free. And when we discover that life isn't that way, it can be incredibly disillusioning. You know, as Christians, for example, we will do all the right things. We will go to church, we will say our prayers, we will make our offerings. We will seek God and get involved with God's people. We will try to live a nice and good life, but still things will go wrong. You know, sometimes we think, you know, if I do A, B, and C, these good things, then it makes sense. It'll naturally follow that D, E, and F will come behind. But oftentimes it doesn't. And this can be terribly upsetting. In fact, it can throw you completely off course, especially when you believe at a certain level that life is supposed to work that way. And so one of the gifts of Scripture in general, and this Scripture in particular, is that the Scripture tells us, in fact, that it's exactly the opposite. It doesn't matter how good you are or how faithful you are. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church or how many prayers you have made. Life is still difficult. Life is still full of challenges and problems. Life will come with trouble and trial and temptation. In fact, this is probably even more true for those who seek to follow Jesus and who have dedicated themselves to the goodness of God's work. I mean, all we need to do is ask people like Abraham or Joseph or Jeremiah or Job or Paul or, of course, Jesus himself. They knew that life is difficult. And they were all good people. It's a notable thing what Nehemiah says in verse 3. In effect, he says, "Why should this great work of God come to a standstill just because this trouble has come my way?" What we see in Nehemiah is how the dream of God, how all the goodness that God intends withstands and survives the test that difficulties bring. And so Nehemiah in this scripture stands as a man of hope and strength for the people of God in every age. Nehemiah does not allow the trouble to stop the dream. The basic issue of this scripture is told to us in verse 9. And the basic issue is a failure of heart. Nehemiah tells us that they were trying to frighten us. They were trying to put fear in our hearts. And if you can fill your enemy with fear, well, you have won the battle. Fear is the great death of the heart. It's the great killer of faith. Fear of being found out. Fear of being imperfect. Fear of what I might have to face. Fear of the hard work that it will take to face my problem. Fear of the pain. Fear of opening that door that I've not wanted to open for a very long time. Fear that the problem is greater than the solution. When difficulty and trouble come our way, the thing that will really threaten us is the fear. Fear of what it might mean. Fear that maybe God is out to get me. Fear that everything is going to fall apart. fear of the judgment and easy answers of others. Because that will happen too. When trouble comes our way, people will come to us, you know, with their reasons and with their answers and their accusations and judgments and their easy, you know, platitude advice. And this is what we see in the scripture too. The enemies of a Nehemiah are coming with these kinds of accusations. They are trying to instill fear and doubt in Nehemiah's heart. They're hoping that Nehemiah's heart and thus his hands will be too weak for the work and that the work will not get finished. So that's the basic issue when difficulties come our way. It really comes down to fear in the heart and a loss of strength to face the difficulty. Fear equals failure. And so this is what Nehemiah prays for. He prays, "Now strengthen my hands." Now strengthen my hands. In other words, Nehemiah prays, "Grant strength to my life, grant strength to my heart, so that the work of God will be fulfilled." We need to notice that when these difficulties come to Nehemiah, he is tempted to give in to fear. And then, so he's tempted to give in to fear, and then he is tempted by Mehetabel to run and flee and hide away in the temple. It's lovely to listen to what Nehemiah says here. It's not exactly clear what Mehetabel had in mind, for surely he knew that Nehemiah was not allowed in the temple. And he knew that Nehemiah would have known that. So maybe what is meant is that Mehetabel was tempting Nehemiah to flee to what was called the altar of refuge, a safe house, in effect, for those who were under threat. But the temptation here is really to run from the problem and to save your own skin. That's really what the temptation is. And that is the choice that we have. It's either fight or flight, they say. You know, face the problem head on or turn from it and run. Face the painful difficulties of life, deal with them directly, work through them, or try to wiggle your way out and save your own skin. And Nehemiah says, "I won't. I won't cave into fear. I won't cave into the temptation. I won't give up on the dream. I won't lose heart to the threats and the accusations and the intimidations of my enemies." And so Nehemiah prays, "Lord, strengthen my hands. Grant strength to my heart. Help me to overcome the fear." Nehemiah is praying to the God of the dream, the God who has given to him this vision to rebuild and repopulate the city of Jerusalem, the city of God's presence. Nehemiah prays to the God who is forever and always working for his presence in our lives and our presence in his life. God is forever and always working for our good, getting us to the place of life and living where we really need to be. And if we ever pray for God to strengthen our hearts and our hands, we are asking for God to take us toward life through the difficulties of life. And there's just simply no other way. This is how it is. Life, the life of God, the dream of God, is found through difficulty. And so, in effect, running from the problems and difficulties that you face in your life is essentially running from God, running from God's dream. To pray for God to strengthen our hearts and hands is to also pray for the ability to trust in a much larger picture. It's to pray for the ability to trust that God has dedicated himself to the great project and he will never let it go. God is committed to the completion of his dream, his life complete in us and our lives complete in him. Let's recall the words of our catechism here. The question is asked, you know, what do you believe when we say we believe in God the Father Almighty? And the answer goes, I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. It's a great mystery. And it can be very troublesome and difficult to really own and live out of this truth, to live in the trust and strength of this conviction. But it appears to be what Nehemiah does. He entrusts himself to the God whose project it really is. Nehemiah trusts that the strength of the dream is greater than the strength of the difficulty. Nehemiah believes that life can pull through the difficulty. The dream can pull through the distress. When we see Nehemiah facing here this great difficulty and adversity, when we see him resisting the temptation to lose heart and give up on the dream, when we see him praying for strength in his heart and in his hands, when we see the dream of God living on inside of him over against the trouble that comes his way, when we see Nehemiah struggling and wrestling for the kingdom of God, of course, we also see Jesus. For Jesus himself was tested and tried with great difficulty in his own life. Jesus himself faced the very real threat of being thrown completely off course. In fact, you could say that throughout Jesus' entire ministry, he faced one difficulty after another, one trial after another, one problem after another, to the point where he was brought to his knees, and where he prayed, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus was brought to a place where he was so distressed and agitated and overwhelmed that he prayed to his Father, I don't want to do this. Take this cup from me. For a moment, Jesus could not see the dream, and he was truly tempted to give up. He was tempted to run and hide and save his own skin. It's a place where many of us can find ourselves. We just can't see the life that God promises. And the difficulties are great, so great that we just want God to magically take it all away. That's where we find Jesus himself. And so he knows what it's like. But somehow, as with Nehemiah, facing the very real threat of being thrown entirely off course, the dream of God finds its strength in the heart of Jesus. And Jesus goes on to pray, not what I will, but what you will. In other words, Jesus prays for the strength to face his difficulty. He prays for God to strengthen his heart and his hands. He prays that God's hands would find him in his situation of difficulty and death. Jesus, like Nehemiah, and Nehemiah, like Jesus, does not turn and run. He faces the difficulty head on. He seeks and finds the strength of God. He sets his heart on Jerusalem. He carves a path of life through any and every difficulty that we might face. And there is no difficulty that can undo the life-giving path of Jesus. Sometimes the difficulty that we face is loss. The loss of health, the loss of loved ones, the loss of relationships. The strength of Jesus helps us to grieve our losses. The strength of Jesus is the strength of crying the tears of sorrow in our lives and to find in these tears a love that knows what it is like. Sometimes the difficulty comes when we are hurt by the words or actions of others. The strength of Jesus helps us to find the pathway to forgive. The strength of Jesus helps us to acknowledge how much we have been hurt, how angry we have become, but also gives us the strength to one day release the one who has hurt us from the grip of our anger. The strength of Jesus can restore in us a fullness of love. Sometimes the difficulty comes when we are tired and worn out. We have given so much and we find that we have no more to give. And the strength of Jesus gives us the permission to rest and to go away with him for a while, you know, to get some rest. To rest in the oasis of his food and drink. Sometimes the difficulty comes when we find ourselves in trouble. We come to a place where we know that we are keeping secrets. And we are filled with shame. The strength of Jesus is the courage to finally bring things to the light. It is the courage to reach out and to ask for help and to start talking about our problem. Sometimes the difficulty comes when we just don't know what to do. We are at a crossroads of decision, but we're not sure where to go. The strength of Jesus here is the strength to wait, to be calm, and to watch carefully for the next steps that God wants you to take. Whatever the case, life is difficult and troubling, and trouble and temptation of one sort or another will certainly come our way. But no matter what the difficulty, and no matter how great, there will always be the strong hands of Jesus. The strong hands of Jesus building the dream of God in us, pulling us through the difficulties that we have, and leading us on his path of life. Let me lead you in a prayer. I invite you to take a moment to gather into your own heart and mind what it is that you need to hear from this message this morning. Lord, in the difficulties that we face, whatever they are, we pray for you to appear, that you would give us the strength to both see and follow your way of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.